Welcome to episode number 10 of the Mitch and Niels Bull Show. My name is Mitch the Man. To my right, Jay Niels. What up, Niels?
Real G's move in silence like lasagna.
A little Wayne.
I had to drop some lasagna on you.
Hey, well, welcome to the Bull Show. This is your look at the Chicago Bulls from a fan perspective.
Episode 10.
Episode number 10.
After today, we'll have enough shows to do a top 10 countdown.
The CD, greatest hits. The CD coming out of iTunes. Can we charge for that?
I don't know who would buy it.
My mom's would. Maybe. Well, this is the Look at the Bull Show. This is not the Look at the Bull Show. This actually is the Bull Show. Usually I say we're not experts, we're not insiders, we're not journalists. I still don't think we're the first two. But Niels, hey man, I want to direct everybody to ShotCitySports.com. Niels, drop the knowledge. Our first blog post wrote about Nasty Nate. I liked it, man. It was great.
You know, it took me far too long to actually put five paragraphs together. But you know, we're taking our hand at blogging.
It was a good five paragraphs, though.
And we'll see where that takes us. So we're not experts. We're not journalists. We're not insiders. But we're attempted bloggers.
Attempted bloggers. Attempted podcasters. Speaking of podcasts, on this week's episode, we will be talking about the roster, a little bit of expectations and things we expect are going to happen, things that we're looking for to happen with the individual players on the team.
Sure. I think the intent here is to, you know, not focus anymore on the finances or what the Bulls should have done, and give our outlook on the current roster and what we expect next season.
We're also going to be talking about the Olympics, a lot of exciting stuff happening there. It's been like the best of times and the worst times. We had some blowouts and we've had some not so blowouts with the U.S. team.
You can't play Nigeria every game.
I guess not. And final third topic, I'm excited. We're going to be dorking it out. We're going to be talking about video games, our favorite video games, things going on with basketball, video games. It should be pretty fun.
It should be a nice trip down memory lane. All
right. Well, we'll be back.
Should I tell them where to find us?
Oh, do we skip that?
I mean, we probably should promote some things.
All right. Go ahead. Do it.
Well,
do you.
We've already dropped ShyCitySports.com. Make sure you find all episodes at Chicago's premier sports blog, giving you all the latest news and updates on all the city's teams, including your Chicago Bulls. Subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. If you haven't already, you ain't about that life. But, you know, I got some beef.
What's up?
We have been sitting at 96 to 97 followers for the past week.
Okay.
And let me say this. Our 100th follower on Twitter.
All right.
We'll go ahead and give him a special shout-out on the next episode.
Let's do it.
If that happens in next week. You know, this could fail miserably.
Yeah, if we're at 94 followers next week, we're just not going to act like this happened, all right?
Yeah, you can pretend you never heard of this.
All right, well, we'll be back in about 1 minute with the Bull Show. All right, topic number one, we are going to be talking about our roster expectations. As everybody knows, there's going to be a lot of turnover with the Bulls roster from last year to this year. So we're going to be talking about what we expect from both new Bulls and old Bulls.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is go down each player.
Okay.
And give what we know, our background, our expectations, kind of rate them as high expectations, low expectations, or indifferent.
I guess that works. All right, well, let's get right into it. The guy that you wrote about, number one, let's talk a little bit about Nate Robinson. What are your expectations for Nate Robinson coming into the season? High, low, or indifferent, I guess.
I'm pretty excited about Nate Robinson.
Are you?
State of Nate.
State.
The dude, as I wrote, ShyCitySports.com, check out that blog. Can't plug it enough. You know, he's going to be that spark plug off the bench. He's going to bring a lot of energy. He's essentially a more athletic John Lucas. And I think more than anything, he's going to become a fan favorite.
No, I agree with you. I'm actually high on him as well. You know, he's going to replace that Lucas, CJ Watson bench role. And, you know, he did really well last year. His numbers were actually pretty impressive for Golden State.
Right.
He had a higher per. I'm a big per guy. It's a John Hollinger stat. He had a higher per than both CJ.
PER.
PER, yeah. PER.
Player efficiency rating.
Exactly.
And he has, you know, some pretty good experience. He played in the 2010 finals with the Celtics. Three-time slam dunk champion.
That's right. We'll get somebody in the All-Star Weekend at least.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, the last Bull was a slam dunk champion.
Yep.
You might have heard of him. Michael Jordan.
He's all right. He's an okay player.
And I think that he's, you know, like I said, fan favorite, cult hero, kind of replaced Scalabrine in that bench mascot type role.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Nate fan right now just because I read that he's 1/8 Filipino.
Really?
That's what I'm hearing. he mentioned an interview down the line, maybe his great-great-grandfather's uncle. I don't know, whatever I'm saying. 1/8 Filipino.
All right, whatever
special
it is.
Place in my heart.
All right, Nate Robinson, we're both high on him. We think he can at least do a little bit filling that role for CJ and Lucas. Next guy we're going to talk about is Marcus Teague. What do you think about Marcus?
He falls into the indifferent category.
I'm going to go lower. I'm going to go low.
Why is that?
Man, I know we're not supposed to take Summer League too seriously. I know, you know, we're supposed to be like, oh, it's Summer League. But I feel like that's if somebody does really well, we should, you know, temper our expectations.
Right.
But what happens when a guy just looks horrible in Summer League? I mean,
right.
Like that's
you look for more promise than project.
Right.
And it seems like he needs a lot to learn.
I mean, he had more turnovers than assists in Summer League.
Uh-huh.
He shot 29%, and he did not hit a three in all of Summer League.
And that's why I'm just indifferent. I don't think he gets any time. I think it was indicative of the Nate Robinson signing that, you know, he's not even going to be the third point guard on the team. He's probably going to get some run in D-League. That would be my expectation. So with that, I'm just indifferent about him. I don't see him doing anything.
All right, no argument there. Let's move on. Captain Kurt, if you were at Vinny Del Negro, or Captain Kirk, if you are a Bulls fan. What do you
call him? Captain Stopgap.
Captain Stopgap.
He's supposed to.
Captain 55 games.
There you go.
What do you think about Kirk? What are your expectations? Low, medium, high?
Again, I'm grouping him in the high category.
Oh, wow.
I might be in the minority with this.
I'm low.
Okay, here's the thing.
State your argument.
Kirk Heinrich has played, and we've talked about this before in previous episodes. In the last two seasons, he's had a significant drop-off. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's been in pretty toxic environments in Atlanta as well as Washington. I think he rejuvenates his career under Coach Tibbs in Chicago.
I don't think so. I think Kurt's done.
He's a combo guard that can handle the ball, knock down the open shot. He's going to be a defensive annoyance. I mean,
in 2006, when he can move, yeah.
As long as he can stay healthy, he's serviceable. He's going to play hard. You don't have to worry about that. I have high expectations for him. Again, this might speak more to my confidence in Tibbs.
Yeah, no, definitely. If Tibbs can, you know, make him a better player, that'd be great.
I believe in the system.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you there. I'm a little worried. I'm a numbers guy, and the numbers have been, you know, dropping down. But you're right. I mean, maybe he comes to Chicago. He's definitely a Chicago guy. I think he was excited to come to Chicago. Mm-hmm. We paid him a lot of money to come to Chicago. So hopefully,
right. I just want to emphasize again. You know, you mentioned that the numbers have dropped off, but it's all about context.
No,
and, you know, the environment that you were in. As I stated before, do you really get a lot of touches playing with Joe Johnson and Josh Smith in a Larry Drew type offense? No. Do you do that well when you're having to deal with JaVale McGee's antics and John Wall in Washington, who've tuned out their coach? So, again, those are the reasons why I'm high on him.
He's definitely going to get the ball more. I mean, he's going to be the A1 ball handler, I think, without Rose. He's going to be able to do a lot of things. He's not going to be playing any two guards. He's going to be playing full point guard. So, you know, I'm not going to argue with you there. Let's move on. The two new big guys, Naz Muhammad and Vladimir Romanovich. What are your expectations for those two?
These guys are synonymous with indifferent. I mean, there's really not much I can say. Especially Vladimir Romanovich. I mean, we ripped on him a lot. Was it last episode or two episodes ago? So I'm not even going to go down that path. The thing that surprised me about Nazir Muhammad, he's so old.
These are two really awful signings. Two really awful basketball players.
He's been in the league for 14 years.
Yes, he's been in the league a long time. The pride of Kenwood. Kenwood, Hyde Park, stand up.
Yeah,
I
thought I was going to be able to add Nazir Muhammad to my United Nations.
No, he's from the South Side. Yeah, these dudes are bad. They're bad at basketball, and they won't help at all.
You know, I will say that he is a bit of a marginal upgrade from Omer Asik on the offensive end. And when I say that, I'm just talking about free throw percentage, points per game. Mm-hmm. I was checking up some stats this morning, getting prepared for the show.
All right.
But that does not compensate for the steep defensive drop.
Yeah, he's not good at offense. He's just better than Asik, who didn't
care
about offense.
Much.
Yeah,
right.
So
I've read that, you know, and heard that he's supposed to play the Kurt Thomas type role, but he just doesn't seem as much of a bruiser, as thugged out as Kurt Thomas. Because if I were the opposing team, I wouldn't mess with Kurt Thomas.
Nah, Kurt Thomas is like he's gotten fights before. Like he's ready to
crazy.
He's ready to fight. Like he's ready to get down.
Right. So again, Naz Mohammed, Vladimir Bobic, for me, indifferent.
All right, we'll wrap it up with the new Bulls with Marco Bellinelli. I think I said it right that time.
I think so. You're getting better. Have you been
I know, seriously. Well, this is what happened, man. I was talking to my boy Jason, who listens to the show, and he basically listens to the show to hear me mispronounce names. Like, that's his thing, right? So, you know what? I hit my dictionary.com, get my phonetics game right.
We might have to have a segment later on. Because, you know, these are the dog days of summer. There isn't much to talk about. We might have to have a segment where I just pass you note cards with different foreign players' names.
Yeah.
And see how well you pronounce them.
I don't even think you have to go foreign. I think there's some American names. If there are enough syllables, I might
Josh talk. Smith.
Josh? But about Marco Bellinelli, what are your expectations? See, I blew that word. Expectations.
I think that this is a guy, and this might have been pretty well documented. I was not high on him when we first made the signing. You know, I kind of stereotyped him being the soft European player. But I've definitely turned the corner. The dude has some Euro swag to him.
Yeah.
And read the scouting report, and, you know, he's a guy that doesn't play much defense, but he's an irrational confidence gunner. So he chucks it up on the offensive end. And I feel like if I were to continue hating on him, I'd just be hating on myself.
Self-hate, man.
And that, I don't want to be hypocritical on the show. I mean, Marco Bellinelli might be the NBA European version of me.
That's funny. Well, I was high on him when we signed him. I actually like him. He's different than Kyle Korver. I think people are going to be expecting him to be Kyle Korver. And he's going to take the ball.
He can actually dribble.
Yeah, he's going to take the ball to the basket a little bit. According to 82games.com, a website I like to frequent for my stats, Kyle Korver shot 96% of Kyle Korver's shots were jump shots. That's really high, obviously, about as high as anyone in the league. Marco Bellinelli's only at about 83%. So he does take the ball to the basket a little bit more than Korver. He draws a little bit more fouls than Korver. He's not the passer Korver is, but I'm pretty high. And he's very young.
Right,
he's
right.
A young player. I think he's like 25 years old.
Again, I might be the minority in this, but the Nate Robinson, Marco Bellinelli backcourt off the bench. I mean, this is obviously with Kirk Heinrich starting for Derrick Rose. That's probably the most offensively balanced and potent backcourt off the bench we've had in years.
That's a really exciting. Now, speaking of potent offensively, I was on Marco Bellinelli's Wikipedia page.
Okay.
And I learned that Marco Bellinelli has...
Because everything you read on the internet is true.
Basically.
Okay.
But I learned that Marco Bellinelli has the second highest point total for Summer League in NBA history.
Summer League Hall of Famer.
Number one is also a former Bull that was on the Bulls, been in the Bulls the last 3 years. I bet you couldn't guess who this guy is.
Last 3 years?
He's been in the Bulls the last 3 years, and he had the highest Summer League total in terms of points.
I was going to say Lonnie Baxter.
No, last 3 years.
I'm dumbfounded. Go ahead.
Keith Bogans. Keith Bogans put up like 42 or something like that in the Summer League game.
I didn't realize Summer League went back that far.
Yeah, man. No, it's crazy. Remember we ran him out of town because he couldn't score?
So what you're saying is Marcus Teague has a shot.
He's got a shot.
Let me throw this out at you.
All right.
Marco Bellinelli. This might be blasphemy.
Okay.
10th episode in a row with this reference. Is Marco
Bellinelli... Wait. Don't do this. Please don't do this.
Could he be a bootleg European Ben Gordon?
No. No, he can't. No.
Why not?
Because he's...
He'll probably make smarter basketball decisions?
He's not... I mean, he doesn't have the dynamic shooting ability that Ben Gordon has and scoring ability. But no, you're right. He's going to play that role. I mean, he should be the guy who comes in, warms it up, gets us excited, gets points off the basket, off the bench, and that's going to be really important for the Bulls.
Right.
Because if you've been following for the last couple of years, the Bulls have been very successful in part because their bench has done a great job of either keeping whatever the point total is there, keeping the point total there, or increasing our lead,
right,
or making up some ground. And we definitely need that. So, and we haven't had the offense off the bench, so he's going to add that.
Definitely.
All right. Should we break now, or should we go through the rest of the Bulls?
Let's take a break. Give our listeners a break. I heard people love those beats.
All right.
So we'll come back with our recap or review of the current Bulls, or the old Bulls that are still on the roster.
All right. Sounds good. We'll be back in a minute. All right, we're going to continue topic number one. We are talking about our expectations for the Chicago Bulls guys on the roster. We just dealt with the new Bulls, the Euro Mob, the Mob Saab, or the Ben Saab,
whatever you
want to call it. Now we got the guys who are coming back. Let's start off with your boy Rip Hamilton. What do you think about Rip?
Again, another indifferent guy, indifferent expectations. It's tough to gauge him just because he wasn't healthy last year, and I don't know if he can stay healthy. When he presumably was during that Philly series, he didn't do much.
Well, you know what? I'm actually excited for Rip Hamilton. The Bulls were actually really good in the regular season when they had him healthy. So I agree with you. If he doesn't stay healthy, then that's going to be bad. But if he is healthy, I mean, statistically, the Bulls were really good with him. And he fits in with what the Bulls want to do. They want a shooter. They want another passer. They want somebody to draw attention from Rose. It's just that he wasn't there. So.
Right. I guess why I'm so indifferent about him is because rumors are running rampant that he'll be on his way out very shortly. If you haven't heard, the Bulls are trying to shop him to create some more cap space to apparently sign Tracy T-Mac McGrady.
Yeah.
So Rip Hamilton could be T-Mac in a matter of weeks or a matter of months.
And more importantly than just swapping out, you know, I don't think the Bulls think that T-Mac is better than Rip Hamilton, but it just gives them room with the luxury tax. Rip Hamilton makes about $5 million a year. T-Mac is going to make a lot less than that. Right. So, yeah.
So let me ask you, would you rather have a can't-stay-healthy Rip or a past-his-prime T-Mac at this point?
I'd much rather have Rip Hamilton. I mean, rolling the dice, you know.
Right.
You know, when he's good, when he's healthy, and he was kind of in the middle of the season, late in the season, he's very good. But like you said, the man just couldn't stay on the floor. And even in the Philly series, I don't know if he was injured. He really didn't play a lot. I mean, there were some halves, you know, second halves, he just didn't even play. So if we get the good Rip Hamilton, I'm okay with that. Let's move on. We'll group the two starting big men, Carlos Boozer and Joakim Noah. What are your expectations for these two?
This is going to be a buzzkill. Well, I'll first start with Joakim Noah.
All right.
Low expectations for him. I think that the fact that he wasn't playing the Olympics hurt him a lot. Whenever you're able to play against the most elite competition around the world, that's going to only improve your game in the right situation.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish that he was playing in the Olympics with that team. But more importantly, the reason why he's not playing is because he's still not healthy. He still has a banged up ankle. The prognosis is that his recovery is going well, but he still has a long way to go. So I don't know. I worry about him. I don't know if he's going to give us that productive of a year. I don't know if he can stay healthy. And I also think that he's, I know this is him, but I think he just might be partying a little too much.
Did you see I think it was ESPN's Chicago.com did a little video thing with him.
Right.
And they asked him about his three favorite Chicago athletes.
I liked it. I don't like AJ Pierzynski.
Yeah.
I'm not a White Sox guy. But the way he presented it was pretty
fun. Well, he talked about his three favorite Chicago athletes. Number one was J.J. Pierzynski. Number two and three were Patrick Kane. And he was very defensive of Patrick Kane's ability to party.
They're boys.
Yeah, so he's probably partying right now. He's doing his thing.
Yeah. Apparently, Joe Kim, I don't know if he's there today, but he was definitely there yesterday. He's at Lollapalooza.
Getting
in? I got that Chief Keef.
Oh, God.
So I kind of wish that I went so I could just go stalk Joe Kim and get him on the Bull Show.
That's funny. Carlos Boozer, expectations?
You go ahead first. You tell me what you think of your boy.
I'm indifferent. I think Carlos Boozer is very, actually, weirdly enough, consistent. I mean, he's going to do what he does. I don't think we're going to see production that's over what he's done in the past couple of years. I don't think we're going to see production that's going to be under. If he stays healthy, he's going to be the guy, the number two, number three option, who shoots the jump shots, rebounds, and doesn't play much defense. I don't think we're going to see anything different.
I have, as you'd expect, pretty low expectations for him.
Hate it.
There is nothing to suggest that he'll be better or even stay the same at the same level that he was last year.
Why don't you think he'd stay the same?
Because he played every single game last year.
He did.
I think the first time in his career.
Yeah.
I think that's more of an aberration than what will be a continued trend.
Maybe he's stepping it up, man.
I would hope. Maybe he saw,
you know, I'm getting this $15 million. Joe's been out. Derek's been out. I need to stay in there and be the Iron Man they're paying me to be.
He's going to be another year older.
It's not like the athleticism is going to go away because it doesn't matter, you know?
Right, yeah. But at the same time, throughout his career, I guess last year you could say that he didn't have this, but throughout his career he's always had a dynamic point guard to set him up with Deron Williams, obviously.
Definitely.
That's when he most, you know, shined. And then there was Derrick Rose, and he's not going to have that this year.
That's an excellent point because I really do think his game is very dependent upon Derrick Rose going to the basket, getting him space
to
set up that 17-foot jump shot. He's not a dynamic, explosive player off the dribble, so he does need space. That's a great point. You're right about that.
And I want to know what he's been up to. Did he go dark on Twitter? I feel like...
Is he a Twitter guy? I don't know.
He was, and then I tried to search for him, and he didn't pop. I could be wrong. Maybe I got to step my tweet game up. But he used to tweet a decent amount, and he just went dark. So I don't know, like, what he's been doing.
You know what he's been doing, right? In the gym. Getting right.
or painting his head a little bit more, trying to get that ass.
Yeah, that might be the point as well.
But you know, I also wonder about a guy like Carlos Boozer, you know, has been ripped nonstop about his defense, about his, I don't know if it's an effort thing, and how he's kind of been a scapegoat a lot of times. Does he take that stuff to heart? Is he, you know, like you said, in the gym actually putting in work and trying to prove haters like me wrong?
Well, I think he's always been a controversial player, even in Utah. The fans weren't too big on him. So I think he's probably used to that. I don't know if it'll have much of an effect on him. I don't know if he's ever been this close to a championship team, but hopefully he's going to take this thing positively. All right, let's move on. His backup, everybody's favorite Bull, Taj Gibson. What do you think about Taj? What are your expectations?
This guy makes the leap. So, I mean,
high expectations?
I might be putting too much pressure on him. Not that he's listening to the show. But Taj, if you're out there, we'd love to have you on. I mean, this guy, you know, he even though he's an old 4-year vet, right? This is gonna be his fourth year.
Yeah.
He continues to improve. What we saw in that Philly series shows that he could step up when need be. I think that his experience with the USA select team is gonna work wonders for him. Anytime you're with elite competition day in and day out, you can't help but improve. I think what I hope he's been working on throughout the summer is a consistent jump shot.
He's got to get that jump shot right. And ball handling ability. He sometimes can be very shaky with the ball.
I just think that if he's worked on that, you know, he could essentially be a better version of Carlos Boozer, being that he would be a better two-way player on the defensive end.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't know if he'll ever get – I mean, Carlos Boozer has a very, very advanced offensive game, especially with his inability to dunk, for him to still be an effective four. It's really something good, but
it's advanced, but it's not strong. You know, I feel like he shies. I mean, he is a bruiser. He'll back you down low, but I feel like the majority of his shots are fadeaways.
No, he's definitely a finesse post player. He's not a guy who's going to drop step, dunk on you, and yell in your face.
And I think Taj is a bit of the opposite of that. I think he can really go up strong. I mean, he dunked on Wade. You saw him dunk on a couple of Philly players in that series. I think that, you know, he can continue to do that.
He's not scared. I mean, I'm very happy to see, and I hope the Bulls can get a long-term deal done with them. I'm not going to argue with that. Moving on from Taj, another holdover, Luol Deng, balling right now for Great Britain in the Olympics.
Is he balling, though?
Man, I feel so sorry for him. Have you watched any of their games?
I have not.
So,
but I saw that he went 3-15
in
the last game.
This is what happens. Other team was like, hey, they only have one good player. Let's guard four people in Luol Deng. And Luol Deng is like, he's not trying to pass. Like, he's taking pull-up 30-footers, like, It's like he's playing in, like, rec league. Like, he's playing at Impey. And he's, like, clearly the best player. He knows he's clearly the best player. And it's just, it's rough to see him play like this.
This actually contradicts what I was saying about Taj and Joe Kim and how the Olympics and that experience would actually help you. I think this is actually backfiring on Luol Deng. I think he's not doing himself any favors by putting him in this position. I think by the time the season rolls around, he's going to be fatigued. He's going to be drained. He might still have to have surgery. With all that being said, I have very, very low expectations for Luol Deng. I don't think he makes the All-Star team again. I'm worried. I'm worried about
him. I see. I don't feel like the Olympics is that big of a deal. I mean, he's going to end up only playing 5 games. I mean,
right.
I mean, that's not a lot of time.
And it is, you know, just a 40-minute game.
As yeah. To I mean, he is playing the entire 40 minutes, basically. But, I mean, if he was working out in the offseason, if there was no basketball, I would expect that he'd be kind of doing the same type of things, you know, athletically or, you know,
right. Working out. Right, he'd still be in the gym.
Yeah, so.
I don't know if he'd be taking a bruising like you just paint. The picture you painted is him just getting manhandled by 5 guys on the other team.
No, it's rough. It's rough. I've got.
That does make it better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've got. Well, there's one thing that he's getting used to being the man, the number one option. Mm-hmm. That somebody's gonna have to step up for the Bulls next year. I kind of feel like when Derek was out, C.J. Watson was almost the number one option, and when C.J. Watson was out, almost John Luke was the number one option.
Yeah.
None of those guys are here, so somebody's gonna have to like be the man. And that's definitely what Luol Deng is getting practice doing.
Right.
He's not doing it very effectively, but I wouldn't blame him. He's on a sorry team, man.
Yeah. No, Robert, that's a good point.
Robert Archibald, remember him from U of I?
Yeah.
He's coming up the bench for They got a lot of bad dudes on their team. It's a weak squad. And Deng is definitely their best player.
I just hope that Deng is not overexerting himself. I know that he takes a lot of pride in representing his country, you know, obviously in London. But I do have some concerns that, you know, he's spreading himself a little too thin.
All right, let's move on to a guy who I know is going to be a high expectation for you. Your boy, your man crush, young Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy, what up? Yeah, dude, this guy...
who gets it in on Twitter.
You know, I guess... I wouldn't say that he makes the leap this year.
I don't think he makes the leap. Expecting you to be all over Jimmy Butler.
I'm shocked. I still have high expectations, but the reason why I have high expectations is because... this is actually his first regular rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on this on previous episodes, but with the lockout last year, you had an abbreviated season, no time to practice, you didn't have summer league. So he's coming into a normal rookie year, and he's already ahead of the curve because he has that experience playing on the big stage, playing in actual games. He looked aggressive in summer league.
Probably one of the 3 best players in summer league.
Right.
3 to 5. He was great in summer league.
He has the defensive ability. He just has to show a little more confidence on offense. I think he will now that he's going to get that playing time.
Yeah, my expectations are a little bit lower. I think that we haven't seen a lot from Jimmy Butler yet. I think he's going to be replacing a guy. It's going to be a tough role for him. I mean, replacing Ronnie Brewer, guarding against the best perimeter player on every team, that's going to be tough. He is young, hasn't had a lot of experience. I'm not sure my expectations are too high for Jimmy, but I'm hoping. That would be great if he could step in, be a great player, and maybe that makes Deng a little bit more expendable, and we can do some things with his contract.
Sure.
All right, finally, our last guy. Obviously, the mood's going to darken a little bit. Yeah.
Recap, preview right here. Our man, fast don't lie, rehab does lie. Does that make any sense? Derrick Rose. Ladies and gentlemen. How do you feel about him and him going into the season?
My expectations are really low because I don't even think he's going to play this season.
You think they're going to shut him down for the entire
season? I think that would be my guess. My guess is that he doesn't play. I think you look at the offseason, they really didn't do much in the offseason, didn't improve the team. I think that's all indicative of them not really worried about this season. And if you're not worried about the season, if this is a throwaway season, I don't see why you would try to push Derek back.
So if they're, you know, it's say March and the Bulls are 40-20. Probably sitting at a third or fourth seed. You don't bring him back?
I mean, I would bring him back no matter what. I think that he should just play no matter what. But I just don't predict that the Bulls will bring him back. I would bring him back as soon as possible. I think he needs to play basketball.
And I'm with you on low expectations for D-Rose. Even if he does come back, he's going to be tentative. He's not going to have the same explosiveness. There's going to be a transition period where they can't really integrate him into the offense that smoothly. You know, anytime you miss that that long of a period, you're going to be rusty. So yeah, Derrick Rose, get healthy. I can't wait till we have a Bulls show where we can talk about like a healthy Derrick Rose, like contributing.
It's going to be amazing.
And how awesome he is on the floor.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. But we'll get to that March maybe if he comes back.
Way.
But if he doesn't come back in about a year, so.
Let me ask you this. This is something we talked about offline a little bit. C.J. Watson firing shots, boom roasting Derrick Rose a little bit with his comment when he signed on to play for the Brooklyn Nets, claiming that Deron Williams is the best point guard in the league.
See, this hurts me because I am, just like you, a U of I grad, so I've always loved Deron Williams. Always thought he was going to be a great player. What's up, Eugene? We thought he was going to be a bum in college. But
Are you upset? Are you disappointed with CJ?
I mean, it's not an invalid point. It's not crazy to say Deron Williams is better. I'm very torn about this. I know
you would just think that he'd have more loyalty to D Rose.
Would he? I mean, the Bulls didn't have any loyalty to him. I mean, I'd be mad. I mean, the Bulls basically.
He's not firing shots at the Bulls and the organization. He's taking away from an individual, Derrick Rose.
Did he say Derrick Rose's name?
We need to pull up the actual comment because my first thought was technically he's not wrong. I mean, right now.
Yeah. Even if, yeah.
Derrick Rose is unhealthy. Derrick Rose can't play.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a low blow, but you know, factually, if Derrick Rose is healthy, I don't know.
Take Derrick Rose out of the equation, or actually no, put Derrick Rose in the equation. Who is your best point guard in the league right now?
You know, as a point guard, you know, a guy who practices
pass first point guard,
guy who practices the crafts.
Oh no! I think I know where this is going based on the expression of your face.
No, where do you think it's gonna go?
Okay, no, say what you want to say. We don't have all day here.
I think the best point guard in the league is Rajon Rondo.
I knew you were gonna say that. That's blasphemy. This is what's called the Bulls show.
I think Rajon Rondo is the best point guard in the league.
I don't think Bulls bloggers gonna follow us on Twitter anymore.
I think here's the thing. Rajon Rondo is my most hated player
exactly.
In the NBA. I hate him. I hope things bad things happen to him and his family. If he's got children, I hope bad things happen to his children as well.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
But I don't know. If you think I'm crazy, I'm not going to argue with you.
I'm just, you know, giving you a tough time because I just have, you know, that vivid memory of what he did against Miami. Was game 4?
Yeah.
Maybe game 3 where they lost, but he still put up 53 points. Played every minute of the game. It's tough to argue against Rajon Rondo.
And you know, it's in context, too. He has to be in a situation where he has a lot of good players.
Right.
He's a guy who's going to make players better. So individually, you know, individual player, I think probably Derrick Rose is a better individual player. Mm-hmm. But is a better point guard? I don't know, man. Right. Rajon Rondo is tough to beat.
It essentially all depends on how you define point guard.
But right.
The question is, I think Derrick Rose is the most athletic and explosive point guard amongst the crop of Deron Williams, Rajon Rondo, CP3, Russell Westbrook. When Derrick is healthy. But it really depends on, you know, what your stance is. Of course, Derrick Rose doesn't probably create as much as, say, a CP3 or Rajon Rondo. But also it's because Derrick Rose has been in a system where he has to be the guy to score.
And he's just a different dude. So, trust me, I'm not hating on Derrick. Derrick's awesome. But, you know.
Sadly, our expectations for him are low this upcoming season.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will move on to topic number 2 in about 1 second. We will be talking about the Olympics. Some crazy stuff going down with the Olympics. We'll be back in a second. Bull show. Topic number 2, we're going to be talking about the Olympics. We've had a very eventful road for the U.S. team. It started in Tunisia. U.S. was only up 9 to definitely outgun Tunisia team. Took the second half, took over in the second half based upon the strength of the second squad, the second team with Deron Williams and Carmelo. What were your thoughts at that point with the U.S. team?
You know, I think Tunisia surprisingly stayed with the U.S. team for about a quarter and a half until they realized they wanted some post-game autographs.
Yeah.
And then packed it in. I found it interesting that the second unit was the one who essentially took the game over with LeBron and Kobe on the bench. I think that, you know, what we had discussed over email that was interesting was how, even though Tunisia did get blown out, it was interesting that they were able to expose, at least in my eyes, some weaknesses of this U.S. squad. I think that they relegated them to a bit of a half-court set at times. I'm not saying that they dominated in any way, but there was a good 10, 12-minute stretch where the U.S. team was just stagnated on offense, a lot of isolations, which, you know, we'll get into in later games. But when the offense is not playing fast, not on fast breaks, not the defense is not creating turnovers, get easy buckets, U.S. has problems.
No, and I think any team would have problems being a fast break team. I don't know if they got exposed so much. It just took them a while to blow them out, but they definitely got the U.S. to play slower.
Right.
The United States came back after that game, played against Nigeria. They won by 157 points, had 39, 58, 5 threes, a million dunks. That was a crazy game.
They set multiple records. I'll list a few of them. I don't have the exact numbers, but I know that they hit the most team threes in a game.
Yep.
Carmelo Anthony had the most points scored by an Olympic player.
And did a bootleg shrug. What's up with that?
I was going to say, we got a rip on him for that.
Yeah, what's up?
I mean, if you're gonna imitate the Jordan shrug, at least go all out. Like, get a bootleg Cliff Robinson in the picture. It was very half-hearted. It didn't really have that dramatic feel to it. We're definitely hating a little bit on Carmelo.
Yeah, he was feeling himself a little too hard. You're playing Nigeria.
Right.
Come on, man.
I mean, our buddy, the C.J. Watson lookalike, did a better imitation of the Jordan shrug when Cliff Robinson and the Sky Eagle All-Stars visited Malaysia. Check that out on our Facebook page. We had a buddy do the Jordan shrug in front of the actual Cliff Robinson.
Did Cliff Robinson notice that, you think?
I have no idea.
That's hilarious.
I almost didn't notice that it was Cliff Robinson without the headband.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, they got it in Nigeria.
Wait, are we sure that Nigeria wasn't tanking? I mean, that's an epidemic going around the Olympics.
Yeah, but Nigeria's not, I mean, Nigeria might not make it, yeah.
Well, let me ask you something the other way around. What do you think Team USA ran up the score and were trying to embarrass them?
No, I mean, they asked Coach K about this, and Coach K said basically they had to take a shot every 24 seconds.
Right.
It just happened to be that all the shots went in. No, not really. I mean, and you know what? It's the Olympics, man. So it's not like the NBA or things of that nature. People are paying a lot of money. We don't get to see this team play a lot. I think you got to give the people what they want. They gave the people what they want. I don't think they did anything crazy.
Right. Like you said, no 24-second shot clock. It's not like football where you can take a knee.
Yeah.
And it's tough to not blow someone out when your second unit is still a bunch of all-stars.
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do? They can't put in the, I mean, the scrubs is like, Anthony Davis, the best college player, you know, out this year. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
Then we had the Lithuania game, and it got real. People were really feeling themselves. People were getting on Twitter, like me. People were getting on emails, going out to people. And then they almost get upset by Lithuania. Would they end up winning by about six?
I think it was the final score was 99-94.
Yeah.
It took LeBron James, the closer, to seal the victory for Team USA. I feel dirty for saying that.
Yeah.
LeBron James, the closer. Anytime I have to give LeBron a cap, I feel like I need to go to the
team. I think they were down with 5 minutes. I think 5:22 left. They were down by two. So it was definitely a very, very close game.
Yeah, Lithuania, you know, put up a good, did a good job, good effort. But it was frustrating to watch. You know, I was actually really intent on watching it. Team USA continued to live and die by the three.
They put up 33 threes in that game, only hit 10 of them.
Those same shots that were falling nonstop against Nigeria weren't falling against Lithuania.
And that's a huge criticism for the Team USA. They're a little 2-3 happy, and they're not very great at hitting threes. Do you agree with that? Do you think that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's too much isolation. You'll see, I mean, a lot of people are guilty of it. Carmelo, Kevin Durant, Kobe, where they'll, you know, try and make a move at the top of the key or on the wing and launch a three. I think that's just a really bad way to go about it, these isolations of this hero ball. I would much rather have the guys working in the post. I tweeted that you have arguably the two best post players in the world in Carmelo Anthony and Kobe Bryant. Let's work the ball inside, have them do work, create some spacing, have more ball movement, have more slashing. There was a play that I thought was going to be the play of the game or the turning point. Lithuania actually came back and took the lead after this. But there was a sequence where there was 3 to 4 passes around the perimeter. I think actually the ball started in the post, and you had Russell Westbrook slashing down the lane, getting an and-one, and the team USA took the lead. If there was more of that, I'd be a lot more confident in this team.
Well, based upon the result at the Lithuania game, we talked about this a little bit, but has your opinion changed? Do you think this team could be upset?
I don't know if my opinion has changed. I think from the very get-go, I didn't think an upset was probable, but definitely possible. And this game, only beating Lithuania by 5, just reinforces that. You look at teams like Russia, Argentina, Spain, they're better than Lithuania.
Yeah, no, I mean, Lithuania is probably the 6th best team in the tournament. You would definitely put Spain, who is injured though, Spain, Brazil, Argentina, and Russia looked awesome over the Lithuanians.
I just think that ultimately, just like in the Lithuania game, Team USA's athleticism and talent is definitely better.
They play such good defense. I think it's gonna be very hard for a team at the end of the game to get baskets on the USA team. I mean, when they go, you know, with their team with Carmelo, LeBron, and Durant, they switch everywhere. They pressure, they trap. When they bring in Russell Westbrook and Deron Williams, those guys can really pressure the ball.
Teams can't even get the ball across half court.
It's going to be really tough for teams to really get baskets at the end of the game, no matter who they play.
Do you have any concerns about Team USA at this point?
I don't. I mean, I think that they're not going to shoot the ball that bad. I mean, they shot 10 for 33. It's just not going to be that bad. I mean, it's going to be somewhere between the Nigeria game and this game. And although they do shoot a couple too many threes, when teams pack it down and play zone, and the three-point line is closer, I just think that it's just going to be natural that the United States is going to shoot more threes.
My thing is, as long as they're not forced shots.
Right.
I felt like I saw too many isolations where it was a couple dribbles and then jacking it up.
Well, I think this brings us to an S point. Do you think that this team could have been constructed better? Do you have any problems with the roster that was selected? Now that we'd be able to see 5 or 6 games, do you think that there are changes that you would have made?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about it before, but just having more traditional post players, I think if you had guys with more defined roles and not having, you know, 5 guys that could play positions 1 through 5, really, when you have like a guy like LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, the continuity is not there.
Are there guys that you would have taken that weren't taken? Is anybody specific that you think?
It's tough because when I think, you know, I already talked about how I'd like to see more of Carmelo and Kobe on the block. It's tough for me to say that we should have picked these guys because I don't know if they're model citizens. But guys like DeMarcus Cousins, Zach Randolph, having those guys on the block, I think would help Team USA tremendously.
Well, I've got a name in mind. I really think that the United States could have used Kevin Garnett. I think that his toughness, I think just from a toughness standpoint, I mean, it might be a world incident where he punches somebody in the face from Russia, but I think we could have really used his toughness, rebounding ability, his intelligence.
Right.
Are there any players that you would have not had on the scene now that you've seen 6 or 7 games?
I mean, that's really tough to say. I think that the first player that kind of comes to mind is Andre Iguodala.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think he's been playing really well, and he's actually a guy that I wouldn't be surprised to see make a leap next year. He was hitting a lot of those threes against Nigeria. His defense, as we know, is top-notch.
And he was thought to play for Nigeria. The Nigerians wanted him.
Really?
He's of Nigerian descent. Yeah, they wanted him, and he held out and said he was going to try to go for the U.S. team and eventually made it. It was about 3 or 4 years ago.
You know what would have been really beneficial for this current Team USA roster that definitely wouldn't be possible given the time that they would need to gel, is if they ran something like a triangle offense.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Just because there'd be more floor spacing. You know, you don't need a true point guard. It gives everyone it's an equal opportunity type of offense.
Well, I got going back to our point before, I got one guy that I would have left at home, left in the United States. A guy that I don't really see fitting in with this team. This might be crazy, but I would have left Kobe Bryant home.
Wow.
I think Kobe just does not fit in with this team.
What autographs are the Tunisian players going to get there?
I know. Well, first off, it would have been better from Kobe's because he would have been found shirtless. He would have been caught shirtless.
Kobe, keep your shirt on in the club.
Yeah, Kobe was taken. Somebody took a picture of Kobe in the company of two ladies without a shirt.
Apparently the story goes that someone spilled a drink on his shirt, so he had to take it off, and the girls were with their husbands or boyfriends, but it was not a good look.
I mean, is there any situation where you, Neil's at a party, somebody spills a drink on your shirt, and you decide, you know what, I'm taking it off. That's the, you know, whatever, you know, I'm taking the shirt off.
Well, given that there's a lot of baby fat under these clothes, no, I would not do that. But
I'm just thinking that probably wasn't the best excuse.
I'm kind of a fan when the Mamba strikes. I like when Kobe's doing work.
But
Vanessa's not happy.
Yeah, really. But on the basketball court, I think he's kind of lost here. It's weird because he's the veteran on the team. But we have the killers. We got the Durants. We got the Carmelos. We got even the LeBrons. We got the defenders with the Iggy's and those guys. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what Kobe does on this team. I think I would prefer either a guy who's more defensive-oriented at the starting two, or a guy who's more of a knockdown kind of shooter. I kind of think that he hasn't been taking a lot of shots. He hasn't been doing a lot, on this team.
I don't know. I feel like from this is obviously not from a basketball perspective, but from, you know, think about the Olympics, think about our most popular players, what generates revenue. I mean, there was no way that Kobe was not going
to be. Right, yeah. And I mean, just from a business aspect, you had to bring Kobe. Mm-hmm. But would the team have been better without Kobe? I mean, you couldn't have found a player better than Kobe, I don't think.
Right.
But I think you could have had a player that could have fit a role better.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's what the new day is in international basketball. You have teams that can beat the United States.
Right.
So I don't think it's so much about bringing your best 12 players and those best 12 players will run over the competition. Mm-hmm. I think you have to have a balance. You have to have guys who are great, but you also have to kind of think about the team aspect. And
right.
I'm not sure Kobe fits in.
I mean, the most parallel example of this, you know, without having these defined roles, look at the first year the Miami Heat got together. They were a 500 team for the first 18 games.
Yeah, 9-8.
I mean, Bill Simmons calls it, you know, the dueling banjos. You know, you had Wade and LeBron and even Bosh not knowing what the roles were. And you kind of see a little bit of that with this Team USA. The difference is that you have a lot better players.
Right.
1 through 12. And, you know, you're playing against inferior competition.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's about it. We'll talk about this a little bit. Under 23, there have been talks about if in the next Olympics, maybe basketball will take the soccer model of kind of fielding an under 23 team. Do you think that would be exciting?
That's stupid.
Really?
I think that, what's the point? Because we're trying to close the gap, even the playing field?
I guess the thought is that the United States team is so good that...
So, is Usain Bolt under 23? Let's
right.
take him. I mean, he's dominating right now, so what? I mean, what's
yeah,
the point?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it'd be interesting to see. I don't know how under 23 team would do against Spain. I mean,
right.
a team of like Kyrie, I think that would be interesting to see if they would be good enough to play. But I definitely prefer to have.
Yeah. I guess I'm also a little biased because I want to see Derrick Rose get that gold in 2016.
Maybe, yeah, so. And he would not. I mean, Marcus Teague, though. I mean, Marcus Teague. All right, well, that's it with our Olympic topic. We're going to move on to talking a little bit of video games. I'm really excited. That will be back. We'll be back in about 1 minute. All right, topic number three. We're going to be talking a little video games. This topic piqued our interest as it was announced that Jay-Z will be the executive producer of the big basketball game on the market right now, NBA 2K13.
The Rock is in the building.
What do you think about Jay-Z bringing his talents to 2K Sports?
I mean, is this cool? Like, I'm a big Jay-Z fan.
Yeah.
I think he's the greatest rapper alive.
All right. No argument here? No argument here?
I mean, it's a little disappointing. And here's why. Because the last 2 years, NBA 2K has come out with some blockbuster updates, some blockbuster change.
And 2K is a game that you can find on Xbox, PlayStation 3. Right. It's kind of like
for those non-gamers.
Yeah, for those non-gamers. It's like a very... It's a very simulation type game where the game is very real, very close to actual basketball.
There have been times where, you know, my grandparents have walked in and thought that an actual NBA game was going down.
Yeah.
That's how ridiculous it is. But anyways, I was saying that I'm disappointed if Jay-Z is in fact their, you know, big change or addition for this year. That's kind of a buzzkill because in 2K11. You had the return of Jordan,
right?
Which was amazing. Then in 2K12, you brought back all these retro teams,
which was really cool.
And now you're just having Jay-Z produce a soundtrack.
Yeah, and it was disappointing to me because I was thinking, okay, Jay-Z's the executive producer. The soundtrack for this game is gonna be crazy. You're either gonna have all of Jay-Z's best songs, or he's gonna create new music. And that is not the case. The soundtrack was released. They're like 25 songs. Four of them are Jay-Z songs, all older songs. I mean, good songs. I mean, Public Service Announcement is one of my favorite Jay-Z songs. The bounce is on there. But
what does it really do for a video game other than, you know, especially a basketball video game? Here is what I was secretly hoping, really excited for, that 2K would have integrated this year.
Memphis Bleek is a playable character. was that it?
No. I was hoping that, given that it was an Olympic year, that there would be a game mode where the 92 Dream Team was created and could play against other Olympic teams, including this year's 2012
So team. What you're saying is you wanted a mode where I could prove to you, through video games, that this 2012 team could beat the 92 team. Is that what you wanted?
Sure. I mean, you could hope that happens. But, you know, it would have been pretty cool if they could have recreated all those lineups, 2000, 2004, 2008, and also bring in some old school teams like the 92 Croatian team featuring your boy Tony Kukoc.
Tony.
You know, that even the Spain team from this year, you know, just having, 20 to 25 rosters from Olympic history that you could have played with. I think that would have been pretty cool.
Now, that would have been super cool. And last year, as you were talking about, they had all these classic teams. So teams from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and 90s. And you could play, you know, the 60s Celtics versus, you know, the 90s Bulls.
Right.
The 90s Jazz versus the 70s 76ers.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you keep that momentum going? Why wouldn't you expand that into, you know, the Olympic horizon? It seemed like a natural step for me. And maybe the game's not slated to come out until, what, October?
Yeah, I think the first week in October.
So maybe there's something that, you know, just hasn't been announced yet and it'll arrive shortly. I mean, I'm still going to buy the game.
Yeah, right. So
Derrick Rose is on the cover.
So now that we've espoused our disappointments with 2K13, let's talk about other basketball games. You know, we've been playing basketball games for a while. So what is, in history, your favorites basketball video games?
I have a lot. I'm going to start with the original, Double Dribble. On yes. Nintendo. Did you have that game?
I had. Of course I had.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I'm just making sure we're on the same wavelength.
Yes.
I still remember vividly the day that my dad came home from Toys R Us with the game in hand, and I was super jacked up. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And those dunk sequences.
Oh, man. With the doom, 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 shit.
The biggest disappointment was when you'd miss the dunk.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was frustrating. But that wing three-pointer.
Yeah.
That was automatic.
It was nasty. All right, so Double Dribble. No argument here. I love Double Dribble. What else you got?
Did you have Bulls versus Blazers?
I had Bulls versus Blazers. That was a great game. Early EA Sports game. I really loved it.
Great game at the time, but if you YouTube some highlights from that game, just terribly slow. And I always remember that the only shot that would go in for me was either Jordan's baseline drive and up and under, or a shot from the elbow that was all the time a bank shot.
Well, I really liked that game, too, because at the time, and, you know, I mean, I probably liked every game that came out, but it had those signature moves.
Right, right, right.
So you can do everybody, you know, you do Tim Hardaway, two-step, two-step. Uh-huh. On that game, I think. You could do Clyde Drexler's special dunks. You do Jordan stuff, so.
And it had the Bulls in the title, so you know you had to get it.
Yeah, yeah, so that was a fun game. What else you got?
NBA Live 95.
Oh, yeah.
And I was nice with Tim Legler.
Oh, really?
Tim Legler. Tim,
was he on Washington at that point?
He was on the Bullets. I remember it was fresh off his three-point championship win, three-point contest win. And I remember playing against my cousin at his place. And he was the Sonics. And you know the Sonics, they had Gary Payton, Sean Kemp. So they were one of the highly rated teams. And I remember almost beating him with the Bullets in triple overtime with Tim Legler dropping 67 points.
Was that Chris Webber, Juwan Howard on that team?
Yeah, Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace.
It all didn't matter because off the bench, we brought in our secret weapon, Tim Legler. I think he was like rated 94 at 3-point percentage.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I really like that game as well. Trying to think what else I remember about that game. I'm so old.
Was that the game? It was either Mitch Richmond on the cover.
Oh yeah.
I forget. But that live series was pretty.
Yeah, that was cool.
Legit.
That was cool. What else you got for us?
I got my last and final game, which is I feel like kind of underground. I don't know if a lot of people had this game. I probably was one of five people who had it.
What do you got?
I think it was actually like a Christmas gift or something. Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never heard of that game in my life.
It does surprise me. What does surprise me is the fact that I had it, given that I hated Bill Laimbeer.
Was it a Nintendo game or a Sega game?
It was a Super Nintendo game.
Okay.
It was essentially set in this futuristic world where the only camera angle you had was an overhead view. And the object of the game was, you know, still to play basketball, but you could just push anybody you wanted to. There were no fouls whatsoever, and I remember playing that game religiously, trying to take my team of bruisers to the championship.
Really?
And it was.
This sounds like the worst game ever.
It was.
I'm not gonna lie.
It was the worst game ever. Again, overhead view, just pushing people around so you could steal the ball, shoot these shots. It was bad, but it was fun at the time.
Well, I'll definitely tell you my favorite game. Clearly. I got one. It's NBA Jam.
Okay.
I love NBA Jam to this day. I'm currently trying to purchase an NBA Jam machine that I can put in my basement. So if we got any contacts out there, they want to give me an NBA Jam machine, that would be great. But
I admit that when I was growing up, I got in an argument when I was, 8, 9 years old with my mom of how she wouldn't buy me NBA Jam, and then it was child abuse. I remember
that. It basically is. I mean, at that point.
Every basketball kid.
Now, who was your squad in NBA Jam?
It had to be Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like they were the flashiest and most effective duo.
I feel like when that was like in the 90s, the Hornets were like the new team out there. Mm-hmm. And it's everybody who was cool loved the Hornets.
Everyone had that Hornets starter jacket.
Yeah, the pullover. Yeah, I mean, the Hornets were so hot. I was this is kind of sacrilegious, but I had the Jazz. Okay. That was my squad. You know, the little man, the big man.
Karl Malone.
Stockton Malone. Stockton had like a 9 threes. Malone had like a 9 dunks, you know. And, and I was ready to do work.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did the original NBA Jam have Gary Payton and Sean Kemp as the Sonics?
I don't remember. I kind of feel like Deathless Shrimp.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. I was going to pick GP and the Rain Man, but I didn't know if that was
Yeah. I mean, I get kind of confused between NBA Jam and NBA Jam TE.
Right. There were a couple auditions that came out afterwards.
But, I was a huge Jazz guy. I ran with the Jazz. My dad was a truck driver back in the day. And the coolest thing about going with my dad to the truck driver, being a truck driver, is we would stop at these truck stops.
Uh-huh.
And if the truck stop had, like, NBA Jam, it was on. So I would be, like, playing grown men in NBA Jam, talking best. I'm, like, 6 years old, like, what up? So, all right, guys. Well, I think that is about it. We are done with the Bull Show. Please be sure to check us out on iTunes. You can subscribe. Have all the podcasts sent to your iPhone or iPad or however you get your media. Also, check us out on Twitter. At the Bull Show. And don't forget, we will be shouting out our 100th follower. I hope that doesn't backfire on us.
Yeah, I hope that we don't have like 95 followers.
Yeah, so if you are following, please stay following. Also, email us at the Bull Show. Any questions or concerns, Well, that's about it. Jay, what are we going to talk about next week?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have some Olympic news, I guess. Yeah. But maybe we'll figure something out.
Yeah, hopefully we'll...
call some people up.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some special guests or something like
Hashtag
that.
Hashtag foreshadowing.
All right. Well, for Niels, my name is Mitch. We are done. Check us out next week. Bull Show.
ShySportsSports.com.